McGill University's 4th annual Queer History Month is taking place this October. Join in later in the month for more exciting programming, including a chat with an elder session from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, October 19th, a zine-making workshop on Thursday, October 21st from noon to 2 p.m., a trans and non-binary in academia panel discussion on Wednesday, October 27th from 6 to 8 p.m., and finally a queer open mic night with performances by Opera Queens on Thursday, October 28th, also from 6 to 8 p.m. Queer History Month will be opened and closed by Elder Gawenodas Sedalio Fazio. Visit the Equity at McGill webpages, www.mcgill.ca/equity, for a complete list of Queer History Month events organized by McGill's Office of the Provost and Vice Principal Academic and their partners. The goal of McGill's Queer History Month is to raise awareness, advance education, and increase visibility of 2S LGBTQIA communities by recognizing their histories and contributions, building bridges, and bringing together McGill students, staff, faculty, and alumni, and Montreal community members.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Hi, welcome back to Unfit to Print. This is CKUT on 90.3 FM, broadcasting not live, but still from Montreal. My name is Pilar Steers.
And I'm Sophie Ho.
Today we broadcast from the Geogeogee, the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe nations. The time now is 5 p.m. Today we've got some headlines discussing the recent end of Britney Spears' conservatorship, recent COVID-19 updates in Quebec and Ontario, Legault denying Truth and Reconciliation Day as an official day in the province, as well as members of Saugeen First Nations being given expired Pfizer vaccines in Ontario. Following that, we have our main segment, an audio essay discussing the presence of medical racism in Quebec. We would like to issue a content warning for today's episode as we will be discussing topics regarding medical racism and the residential school system. This past Tuesday marks 1 year since Joyce Echaquan's death as a result of institutionalized racism in the healthcare system in Quebec. Medical racism exists everywhere, but today we want to focus on Quebec's history of medical racism and honor the death of Joyce Echaquan and others who were failed by a healthcare system which was meant to protect them. We have discussed medical racism before on Unfit to Print, but think it's important to continue the conversation. We'll be back with headlines after a short music break.
Thank you.
Gone are the days bonfires make me think of you. Looks like the prophecy came true. You are a fallen tree, he is a fallen tree. How old are you? No, how old are you?
Under all the folds of the dresses that you wear, there's an ocean and a tide. Under all the endless square, over all the days that the compass made your hair, sway around to the currents of the river where you share.
Under all the folds of the dresses that you wear, there's an ocean and a tide.
To help you
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM. That was Silver Moons by Sunset Rubdowns, followed by The Worst in Us by The Dears. Now it's time for our weekly headline roundup.
After 13 years of conservatorship having absolute control over Britney Spears' life, recently on September 29th, her father Jamie Spears was officially suspended as conservator. This is a major step to ending her conservatorship, and Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Brenda Penny has set a hearing date on November 12th to discuss formally removing Jamie. NBC reports that Matthew Rosengart, Britney's attorney, also intends to present a plan to end the conservatorship altogether. Britney has been battling for years to be free of the legal arrangement, with her fans aiding her by mobilizing in the hashtag Free Britney movement to bring awareness to the overwhelming number of discrepancies surrounding the conservatorship. Since 2008, Jamie has been in charge of Britney's business affairs following a mental breakdown that she had. However, it was only meant to be temporary. During her time as a conservatee, Britney toured the world multiple times, releasing albums and working on television shows as a conservator decided when she would or wouldn't work. Her conservatorship covered personal, medical, and financial affairs. And now that Jamie has been suspended, public accountant John Zabel has stepped into the role until the next court hearing. Britney's most adamant request for the judge was that her father be removed immediately, as she accused him of abusing her, saying she was manipulated and exploited and bullied by the conservatorship. This movement has opened up many conversations around the power of social media, as well as highlighting further failures of the U.S. justice system.
In recent COVID-19 updates in Quebec from October 7th, Quebec registered 624 new cases and 5 more deaths as of Thursday. The number of COVID-19-related hospitalizations rose by 3 to 297, in which 28 patients were admitted while 25 were discharged. Of the 297 patients, 88 were in intensive care units in the whole of the province, dropping by 2 from the 6th to the 7th. On the 7th, 12,737 doses of the vaccine were administered in the province. As of today, Tuesday, October 12th, 13,222,447 doses have been administered to date in the province. On last Tuesday, 33,936 tests were given in the province. Since the beginning of the pandemic, 413,930 cases have been reported, with a total of 11,405 COVID-19-related deaths. In Ontario, 535 new COVID-19 cases have been reported as of October 10th, with 2 deaths from the virus. These 535 new cases have made the total number of reported cases in the province 591,866. Of the 535 new cases, 388 were not fully vaccinated, while 147 of the individuals were fully vaccinated. However, last Sunday reported 580 new cases as a 7-day average, showing a drop to this Sunday, the 7-day average continuing to decrease. On October 3rd, the 7-day average was 596, and this past Sunday it was 538. The provincial death toll from COVID-19 is currently 9,790. In Ontario, there are a total of 577,490 recovered cases. Ontario has administered 18,397,444 COVID-19 tests. In Ontario, there are 153 people in intensive care as a result of the virus. To quote Global News, as of 8 p.m. Saturday, 22,071,730 COVID-19 vaccine doses have been administered in Ontario, making an increase of 29,247. Of the latest shots given, 10,281 were first doses and 18,966 were second doses, unquote.
September 30th marked the first National Day for the Truth and Reconciliation to honor and remember the victims of residential schools and commemorate the tragedies that were born out of this system. This holiday is one of the 94 calls to action put forward in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's final report and was fast-tracked this summer following the reveal of the 215 unmarked graves at a former residential school. Some provinces have designated September 30th a statutory holiday, such as Manitoba, Nova Scotia, and Prince Edward Island, while Quebec did not, justified by Premier François Legault saying, quote, "We need more productivity in Quebec," unquote. The Montreal Gazette reports that, quote, "Legault said that it was important to mark the day to commemorate victims of survivors and victims and move forward. When asked why Quebec is not making it a formal holiday, he referred to the need for greater productivity," unquote. His stance is that the addition of an official holiday would be very costly and that it is not necessary to have such a large cost. Instead, in Montreal, the day was recognized with events such as a march and a commemorative ceremony taking place. Legault faced tremendous backlash from other politicians as well as organization leaders and citizens of Quebec. His actions represent the lack of empathy his government consistently gives to Indigenous people and further emphasizes the importance and need for truth and reconciliation.
It was recently found that many members of Saugeen First Nations in Ontario were given Pfizer vaccines which expired on August 9th, administered to them from August 13th to September 9th. Precisely 71 members of the Chippewa of Saugeen First Nations in Ontario were given expired vaccines for an entire month before being informed of the error. Indigenous Services Canada, ICS, which administered the expired vaccines, is, according to an article by the CBC, planning to, quote, "customize the approach to re-immunization for those affected," unquote. While the expired vaccine dose does not pose any serious health risks, to quote the CBC again, vaccines can lose their strength if given after their best before date, officials have said, and may make them less effective in protecting people from the COVID-19 virus, unquote. The error occurred because the expiry date on the vaccine vials, which arrived, said October 2021, but this was only applicable if the vaccines were frozen. This error also means that the people given expired vaccines are not considered fully immunized and must go through the process again in order to be eligible for vaccine passports in the province. However, booking a time for the vaccine and getting to the destination can be difficult. This mistake should not have occurred, and the healthcare system should be held accountable for its errors, which disproportionately impact Indigenous people in Canada. That was our weekly headline roundup. Thank you for listening. Next up, we've got some music, followed by our main segment, an audio essay. So stay tuned.
Lay down your head. Again, here to see you through till the day's end. And if the night comes, and the night will come, well, at least the war is over. Lift your head and look out the window. Stay that way for the rest of the day and watch the time go. Listen, the birds sing. Listen, the bells ring. All the living are dead, and the dead are all living. The war is over, and we are beginning. Gridlock on the parkway now. The television man is here to show you how. The channel fades to snow. It's off to work you go, but at least the war is over. She's gone, she left before you woke. As you ate last night, neither of you spoke. Dishes, TV, bed. The darkness filled with dread, but at least the war is over. Lift your head and look out the window. Stay that way for the rest of the day and watch the time go. Listen, the birds sing. Listen, the bells ring.
all the living are dead, and the dead are all living. The war is over, and we are beginning.
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM. That was The Alchemy Between Us by Young Galaxy, followed by In Our Bedroom After the War by Stars. Now we've got our main segment, an audio essay discussing medical racism in Quebec and Canada, specifically discussing the one-year anniversary of Joyce Etchequan's unfortunate and tragic death as a result of medical racism institutionalized in the healthcare system in Quebec. Joyce Etchequan passed away just over a year ago on September 28, 2020, with her death sparking mass outrage and protests as she recorded the racist remarks and awful treatment she received from her healthcare staff in a Quebec hospital.
The 37-year-old's recording unequivocally demonstrated the systemic racism and discrimination rooted in Quebec's healthcare system. This incident was not an outlier by any means. In fact, 2 years ago, retired Super Court Justice Jacques Viens stated, quote, "It seems impossible to deny that members of First Nations and Inuit are victims of systemic discrimination in their relations with the public services that are the subject of this inquiry," unquote, after spending 3 years inquiring and examining the shortcomings of Quebec public services.
The Quebec coroner for her case did a 3-week inquiry into her death and firmly believes Etchaquan would still be alive today had she been a white woman. According to CBC News, quote, "She concluded that racism played a role in Etchaquan's death and that her death was not from natural causes, but accidental because she did not receive the care she was entitled to," unquote.
The coroner issued several recommendations, with the primary being that the Quebec government recognize the existence and extent of systemic racism within its institutions. Despite this recommendation, in the words of other political and non-political leaders, Premier François Legault reiterated his position that systemic racism does not exist in the institution. It seems that Legault took it more of a personal attack, seeing systemic racism as an organizational thing where the people in authority, such as himself, support racist policies. He said, quote, "For me, a system is coming from upstairs, coming from the top people, and I don't see this in the healthcare network," unquote, going on to acknowledge that there is prejudice and discrimination in Quebec. The refusal to recognize the blatant discrimination and racism embedded in the system dismisses all other similar allegations or incidents, while simultaneously delegitimizing any previous tragedies, and sets a tone for the way other discriminatory incidents will be handled. Following the assembly where he made these comments, Legault said in a Facebook message, quote, "I am well aware that the National Assembly last week did not send the message of compassion and solidarity that the situation demanded of us. I include myself in this and take responsibility for it," unquote. And, quote, "As Premier, I have duty to lead by example. I sincerely try to do this every time I speak to Quebecers," unquote. And still, it seems he's unable to acknowledge the words systemic racism.
Joyce Etchaquan's case is too familiar for Indigenous communities, and in wake of her death, CBC reports that Indigenous leaders in Quebec have drafted recommendations oriented towards guaranteeing healthcare that is free of discrimination for Indigenous people. The set is called Joyce's Principle, and thus far, Quebec has refused to draft the legislation relating to or including Joyce's Principle as they reference systemic racism. Speaking to the presence of medical racism in Quebec and the failure of the government, Etchaquan's family called on Premier François Legault to acknowledge the racism embedded in the healthcare system in Quebec. But Legault has refused to do this. How is change meant to occur when the government will not even recognize this undeniable issue? Legault's lack of accountability is a reflection of a colonizer mentality and encourages the power structure which ignores and oppresses Indigenous people in this country. Our thoughts go out to Joyce Etchaquan's family and any others affected by medical racism in the country. Thank you for listening. We have a resource list of ways in which you can support Indigenous people and Indigenous healthcare in Canada and Quebec after a short music break.
Daily absorbed and collected in the glands and fatty tissues over time, over time. Mm-hmm.
Reflect on your absence, genuflect in my presence. Thank you.
Welcome back to Unfit to Print. You're listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM. That was Inoculate the Innocuous by The Unicorns, followed by A Silent Moment by Elephant Stone. Now we have our resource list. First up, you can go check out the Unfit to Print archives and listen to our previous episodes discussing medical racism. They're super helpful, and they were done by Amy Lloyd, the previous Unfit host. Next, we have a document which discusses medical racism in Canada. The piece is titled Ignored to Death, Systemic Racism in the Canadian Healthcare System by Brenda L. Gunn, a law professor at the University of Manitoba. The piece is very detailed and provides more insight into the complexity of medical racism in the whole of Canada. Next up, we have the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal, which we have mentioned before on Unfit to Print. To quote the site, "The goal of the Native Women's Shelter is to provide a safe environment where women can begin to rebuild their lives. We offer support and frontline services to First Nations, Inuit, and Métis women and children to promote their empowerment and independence. The NWSM is the only women's shelter in Montreal that provides services exclusively to Aboriginal women and their children. Women are offered an up to 3-month stay in one of 13 private rooms, many of which are capable of accommodating more than one person so that women may stay with their children. Since its incorporation in 1987, the Native Women's Shelter of Montreal has provided shelter and support to First Nations, Inuit, and Métis women and their children. Our clientele are self-referred or referred by community resources. The shelter provides an environment where women can focus on their various challenges and rebuild their lives. Our in-house programs, combined with our outreach services, help in the healing process of women while assisting them in re-establishing a balanced lifestyle. The Native Women's Shelter works with an Aboriginal framework. We incorporate many different teachings from the various cultures of First Nations, Inuit, and Métis. We combine traditional healing techniques with contemporary approaches to give the woman a multitude of options to address their immediate needs and issues," unquote. Please donate directly through the site if you are able, or share with friends and family. Next, we have the GeoGea Gay Center. To quote the site, "The Indigenous Health Center of GeoGea Gay was officially incorporated on February 2, 2016. This initiative stemmed from a project undertaken by the Health Working Committee of the Montreal Urban Aboriginal Community Strategy Network. In 2011 to 2012, the Health Working Committee successfully completed a two-phase project funded by Aboriginal Affairs and Northern Development Canada and the Public Health Agency of Canada, which included developing and implementing a needs assessment on Indigenous health in Montreal, and an extensive review of available health and social service organizations in Montreal to create an online database of resources available to the urban Indigenous community. What was discovered was a need for culturally safe and appropriate health services for urban Indigenous people that include child, youth, and family health services, primary care services, chronic disease management, infectious disease services, mental health and addiction services, homelessness and housing services, and social services. The Montreal Aboriginal Health Needs Assessment represented a timely and important opportunity for Indigenous organizations and their partners to consider how best to resolve some of the gaps and inequities in health service delivery in Montreal. In the short term, this initiative intended to provide evidence-based recommendations to fill the gaps in the delivery of culturally sensitive and holistic health services to the Montreal urban Indigenous population. In the long term, this needs assessment supports the creation of a fully functional, holistic Indigenous health center in Montreal," unquote. Please check it out and donate if you're able at centertiohtiake.com. That's all we've got for today. We've got some music leading us out. First off, we have Winter Bell by The Hot Springs, followed by Swans, Life After Death by Islands. And as a last word, today is my last episode as Unfit to Print radio host. It's been really great. I really enjoyed it. We're looking for a new host right now, and I'm sure they're going to be great. So thanks again, and thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great Tuesday.
Melissa Pawunga, Ulume, September 14, 2021. Tunga sa wat moon. Ulume to salang William ko magsitik sa mi. O kawin hatil lo ingitak mi. Ang malaw na ni David Panira. At hatso ni Dave Prodigy, Cambridge Paymeo. Tusak na niya langan medyo ko iniro sila kasi marangan ni asing iniliin yun iniro sila kasi marangan ni to sa langan medyo ko nalatoy na kasi ay I'm Emma Lisapa. Today is September 14, 2021. Welcome to Nipivot. Today William Kumaksiutiksak interviews rapper and producer David Panira, a.k.a. Dave Prodigy, from Cambridge Bay, Nunavut. We will also play his and other Inuit music, so keep listening.